Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to At Home with Victoria. Now here's your host, Victoria Gaither.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you.
You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.
Again, good evening, everyone. Again, thank you so much for being with us tonight on At Home with Victoria. That was Shelly Rand. Shelly is one of our favorite artists that has appeared on the show before tonight. I think I put the wrong sound card in. That was the reason why I had that little bit of a fuss there at the beginning of the show. But listen, for those of you that are joining us, I am very, very happy to have you here. Jewel Green is supposed to join us tonight on the show. I tried to get in touch with her to see if she was still going to be able to join us. I think something may come up, so she may, in fact, not be able to call in tonight, but I will tell you a little bit about her website. And Jewel has been no stranger to At Home with Victoria. She was a regular contributor monthly on the show up until about a year ago, and we both took on other projects, and she's always working on different things. But I do want you to check out her website. It's called shopposhboutique.com. You'll find a lot of information on there and her thoughts about fashion, beauty, lifestyle, and also inspiration. Anyone also who knows Jewel knows that she loves Honesty Jewelry. So just make sure that you check out her website, and we're going to try to reschedule and get her back on if possible. But I can tell you a few things about her website that I had the opportunity to kind of take a look at. That was new that I do like. I know she went to a dinner party with Beverly Johnson, supermodel Beverly Johnson, and in her blog she talked about how she talked to Beverly and about how beautiful Beverly's skin is. Well, Beverly now has a new beauty line of product called Flawless Skin. So Google Flawless Skin, and if you're interested in her line of beauty skincare products, I definitely think that you should take a look at that. And again, make sure you check out Jewel's blog and also her website, which is shopposhboutique.com. Marilyn Bennett, our producer, is actually has that link and that information inside the chat room. So we're just going to switch gears a little bit. I do believe Michael Kay is actually going to call in. But let me check and see if this is actually Jewel who's on the line right now. Hi, Jewel, are you with us?
I sure am.
Jewel, it's so funny because I thought, well, maybe Jewel forgot to be with us. So I'm so excited that you're here. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. And, of course, I wouldn't forget. I had notes and alarms going off everywhere, so I would remember. So here I am.
I love that notes and alarms going off everywhere. I was telling everybody before you came on about shopposhboutique.com, and I was looking at the website today and was looking at the entry that you wrote about supermodel Beverly Johnson. What was it like meeting her?
It was very, very interesting. It was so funny. You know, when you get together with women for dinner, you know, it's conversation is all over the place. But it was so funny because looking at her at 59, I was so in awe of just what she was able to do and upkeep alone. It was just amazing. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Yeah, and in fact, I didn't know anything about her new skincare until I read your blog. So I went to go check it out. It's called Flawless Skin, and you can get the information, access it from Jewel's blog. And it, what I like about it after reading the ingredients, it's clear that she focuses on all natural things as opposed to all the bad stuff that you find in skincare these days.
Exactly, exactly.
And that is definitely what I like about it. So listen, where should we start? I started getting all these emails where people saying, where is Jewel? She hasn't been on the show. We need to know what's going on in her life. And I was I kind of know what's going on because I follow her on the Facebook page, but I guess it's not the same because you were a regular contributor, and there were just, you know, looking back on it, literally thousands of people always tuned in to listen to what your thoughts were and what were going on. So catch us up to date on stuff that we've missed with you.
Oh, my gosh. Let me see. You know, it's funny how every few months you feel like you enter into a new season, and it's fun and exciting. And, you know, it's a transition time because my children are now really young adults and really moving into their own. So I've shifted things a little bit so I can be kind of hands-on again for a few, and, you know, I transformed Posh, Shop Posh, into a site that's full of jewelry and fun things that women need, because at some point you've got all these outfits and you've got all these things. You just need that little accessory to just make you pop. So that's what I was doing. I was spending some time doing that and blogging more and trying to get that information out to women who, you know, don't have time to go find out what that new skincare line is, or just those the information that you need to know, but you just don't have time to do it. So that's kind of where I am.
Well, I have to tell you, I mean, if that is your goal, and you said it is, it's certainly working, because I just gave you an example about Beverly Johnson. I didn't, as much as I read and try to keep up on stuff, I miss a lot of stuff myself, so I had no idea that she had a skincare line out. So, again, it was through reading your entry that I did find that out, too. Another thing that I noticed that you're doing and I love is that you're on Pinterest as well. I love following you on Pinterest. What about Pinterest do you like? Isn't it cool? Well,
it's so cool, and it's like my time to be able to relax and go and explore and find beauty in things and see what other women are loving and liking, and it's just the best invention, I think, of our time. It is awesome.
Yeah, it is. And what's interesting, too, when Facebook came out, you know, it really wasn't more so geared towards, you know, I guess, moms and people like us. It kind of started off for college kids and kids. And then I thought, man, Facebook, this is the greatest thing ever. And then when somebody mentioned Pinterest to me, I thought, well, you know, can it really be all that? And I thought, oh, I mean, literally, Jewel, I would sit in my bed for hours combing the web trying to find a specific makeup or dress or something that I was looking for that I needed to pin, whether it was my beauty products or, you know, my favorite type of makeup. And it is, it's kind of like you go on this search on the web of trying to find things that you really, that's important to you that you want to show.
Exactly. Oh, I definitely think so. It's like, you know, no matter what's going on in your life or what you're looking for, you can go there and find, you know, somebody's board of great ball gowns or somebody's wonderful table settings. I mean, the range is so broad. It's just a fun thing to do. And again, to open your eyes to things that you hadn't seen or found. And it was just one-stop shop, and you go there and find everything. So I encourage everybody to try Pinterest.
And what's cool about it, too, it's not only clothes, makeup, and fashion, but also I hate being on there when I'm hungry for food. Because
people on there have that. Yeah, they make even a non-cook feel like, oh my God, I possibly could do that. So it's great.
I know it is, and that's what's interesting. What you said that I possibly could do this, because you know I look at different shows and I'm thinking, man, there's no way. I mean, that's just not me. I can't really pull that off. But then when I see it on Pinterest, I think, my goodness, I think I could probably do that. You know, they give you the instructions and there's some kind of motivation there that you really believe that you know that you can actually do it. Another thing I was thinking about you today, because I've been looking at all the posts on Facebook with people are graduating, kids are going on off to college, and I remember it was either last year or the year before that there was a woman who faithfully listened to your show, and she was so upset. I don't know if you remember this, but her daughter had just graduated from high school and she was sending her off to college, and it was around the same time that you wrote that letter. Remember the letter you wrote?
Right.
Yeah, right. I'm bringing back some serious memories. And you wrote the letter about, you. About kids and sort of life and we as women. And I thought about that today when I was looking at all the pictures of kids going on to college and where that kind of leaves, you know, parents, especially mothers. So have your thoughts still changed on that at any, or any new advice you want to give on that, since you already kind of lived through that, plus with your son being drafted as well?
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, you go through that. It's funny when every time something monumental happens like that, it's just like going off to college when they, you know, I guess it's the same as, you know, that first day of school and then college and that first job and all that. And every time it happens, it almost signals us that there's a new season or there's something
is done, and now it's time to move on to something different. And it's funny because every time, this was the first time, you know, my son, you know, now is signed with the Carolina Panthers, and, you know, he looked at me and he goes, Mom, I have a real job. I have a real commitment. This is, like, so exciting. And it was so funny. I was so excited for him, but at the same time I thought, oh, my God. And it also means that I am at a middle of the road for myself. Like, I can look back and go, I don't have little children anymore. Okay, is this really midlife? Am I at the midlife point? What is that? So it's so funny. My blog this week is exactly about that and just talking about, you know, I heard a woman say a couple of days ago, she goes, you know when you're at midlife when you think more about memories than you do dreams. And it was funny because I thought, oh, my God, does that mean, like, I mean, like, this is, like, the end? Like, you're at the, you know, where you've got the best part of your life you've already done, and now you're just on coast? And I thought, no, it absolutely does not. You can feel like when you've got the, I think when you really can sit down and go, I can really have fond memories, it's because you're at a place of contentment. And I think that's the most exciting thing, whether it's your child going to college or getting that first job. It's not that life is over or that, because that's what you wrestle with, like, am I just at a change point? But, like, no, I really did what I set out to do. I don't have to set goals that are, like, it'll take me 10 years to do anymore. I can really reminisce on all the things that are great that have happened and be really content where I am right now. It doesn't mean that I'm not dreaming anymore or creating new things. Mm-hmm. It just means that the best parts are done. I don't have to do that. I don't have to work as hard anymore, which is very exciting to me.
Well, and, you know, these days, too, and I know you would agree with this, these days, too, you know, women have so many more options when the kids leave to go to school than they ever had before. I mean, just something as small as if you're really good at cooking or, you know, you really love fashion like you do, to have the ability to say, hey, you know what, I really, really like this. I just want to start my own blog. I mean, the opportunities for women these days, I just think, are far, far great as what they were for our parents. So it's kind of like, you know, it seems like there's so many tools out there if you're a woman when you get to that stage in your life. If you want to reinvent yourself, then you can certainly do that and have a lot of help and not many problems with it, because there's so much stuff out there to do now.
Oh, I think so, too. And I think women need to be open to that and excited about all that they have still yet to do until the day you take your last breath. There's something that you have to contribute to other people, to everything around you. And I think we should all embrace that and just do it.
Yeah, no, I totally, totally agree with you on that, because I remember when my contract was coming up and it's a television station, I ended up getting bit by a tick and got Lyme disease. And everyone was telling me, because I couldn't focus as much as I used to in front of the camera, that my television career was over. And I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. I've been doing this for 15 years. Like, I don't know anything else to do. Now, what was interesting with me, unlike other people, it was clear to me that I saw the television, the whole industry and news was going to change because of technology. So I was one of the first to say, you know what, I'm just going to make the switch and get out of the old and into the new, and it worked out for me. So I look back and think about what would have happened if I didn't have that leap of faith and didn't take the chance, and I would have never ended up with my own show doing my own thing. So that is just an example that, you know, don't be afraid of it. Just kind of go with it, because, you know, what's the worst could happen? You're not successful, then so what? At least you tried.
Absolutely, and there's so much excitement in doing just that. You know, I think we were talking the other day, Daryl and I, about just the makeup of people and how 90% of the people feel like they are more of a 9-to-5 team player, but a lot of it is just because they've never had the opportunity or never had the courage to just step out and let's do something of mine. And it's an exciting thing, because if you don't, you're always dependent on another thing, and not just, you know, the structure that you work for, but that you are at the mercy of them. If they decide we're not doing this anymore, then what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got your own thing, it's okay. It's like, I'm just going in a new direction. It doesn't mean that my life is over, my job is over. I can step out and have courage to do my own, create my own world and be successful at it and learn to work hard, you know, and not just do the checklist at the job all day.
Right. And you know what, that key word that you just said, it takes exactly that. It takes a lot of courage and also faith to do that. I mean,
absolutely.
I find it interesting. I find it interesting. You'll see, especially on Facebook, you'll see, and I think you commented on this one time. I remember saying, amen. You see so much stuff about life coaches and this coach and that coach. And I remember when I was growing up, we didn't have a coach. We, you know, our coach was reading the Bible and talking to our parents and trying to make the right decision. That was the coach, you know.
Exactly.
You kind of, something that was really, you know, very serious. And you talk to your pastor or, you know, one of the women at church, if it was a woman's issue, or, you know, a best friend or somebody that was or that had your best interest at heart. But these days, I just think it's so, you know, and I'm not bashing the life coach industry and all of that. That's a whole different thing. But I was really thinking about that, how, you know, people will spend so much money on a life coach, you know, to tell them what you just said, you know, just step out of your comfort zone and just, you know, and do it, as opposed to, you know, spending $2,000 or $3,000 to have somebody tell you exactly what you already know. Just go for it.
Exactly. You know, we are definitely living in a time where if your faith is lacking, it's never too late to stop and start it and get it where it needs to be, so that you can have that relationship and have that direction. But also what people have got to get more into is the relationships that we grew up having. You had neighbors that you were connected to. You had people in your life that you could say, hey, what do you think about this? So because people are so isolated now, there are no close friends. I mean, I did a blog one time about that girlfriend. I said, can we go back to having that, you know, we use the term BFF very loosely, but most women do not have that woman that they can pick up the phone at any time and call and say, you got to listen to this and tell me what you think. Because everybody's very guarded, and it's time to break the walls down so we can get to where we need to be and have those people in your life that are God-fearing, that say, look, examine me, help me see myself, and help me see where I'm trying to go and help me get there.
Mm-hmm.
And without
you struggle.
You end up paying a life coach, and not to say the life coaches aren't necessary, but, I mean, they're necessary in a certain way, not necessarily for life, but maybe for a business plan, for whatever. But just in general in life, if you only have that, there's something lacking.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, you and I agree on so many things, and that right there is one thing that I agree on, too. And that made me think about, I was watching television a couple of days ago, and there was a woman on there who was selling some type of program, and it was for kids who were bad and defiant. And she was like, well, you know, if you buy my program, I'm sure you're 100% success, your kid will be able to turn their life around. And it just kind of dawned on me, and I was thinking, well, my program was, I got a slap across the butt. That was the program for me.
Exactly.
My parents didn't go out and buy a how-to book on how to deal with Victoria. No, if I was bad, I got put in trouble, and I get it worked. I mean, I turned out okay, and I'm not advocating, you know, taking your kid. I mean, I'm not talking crossing the line of abuse with your kids. I'm not certainly advocating that, but it's just funny how times have changed, where there's a commercial now for a woman who's selling, I think it was like a 12-step plan to how to make your kids better and that they not be defiant against you. And I thought, well, my plan was just my mom's hand, pretty much. That was
exactly. And just, you know, that talking. We just got to get back to talking and explaining, even with the kids, because they're so, you know, we go through tons of interns and, you know, that young professional is just fresh out of college, and I'm baffled every day at how much they don't know. And it's not, you know, an attack on them, but it's like there's something that this generation didn't get that ours did, from, you know, starting with what to wear to work to how to just act in the work environment. There's so many things that, you know, we just felt like we were so busy that we wanted that generation to learn by osmosis, and it's not possible. They have to be trained, and then they won't feel like, just because I have this degree from whatever university, I should get what it is that I'm doing right now, and that's just not the way it is.
Well, I was going to ask you, do you feel that in your experience, because I feel it in my experience in just talking to younger people, that I just feel like a lot of kids these days feel like that they're entitled to every single thing possible, and this whole idea of sort of putting in hard work just doesn't really exist anymore, that they're just entitled to it.
Oh, it's definitely true. I mean, from getting the job to the salary to everything, it's almost like somebody told them, if you get these 120 hours, this is what they owe you. And I'm baffled every day.
Yeah.
Because they don't realize there's so much experience that they just completely lack. and cannot get it unless they get under shadow an adult and just ask the hard questions and just mirror what they see. But that's not what happens. And again, for them, I don't think it's the kids' fault. It's the parents that don't say, here's what has to happen. I mean, you know,
right.
A lot of these parents see these 20-year-olds going to work and looking like they're going out on Saturday night. It's like, well, when were you going to tell them? You don't dress like that. So what are they doing?
Right.
I mean,
the parents look like they're going out to clubs. And that brings back memories when I was at most of the television stations I was working, like you know, you have interns that posture tour, and interns will come through the TV station. And I remember sometimes some of the reporters and all of us would just sit there and look and think, where do they think they're going? I mean, like, some of the skirts, I kid you not, if you bend over, you would see all of their stuff. And it's like,
exactly.
No, this is work. It's not a club. I mean, there's a huge difference between work and a club and what's appropriate and what's not. But like you said, it was very clear to a lot of us as the women in the office that they really didn't know. I mean, that was normal to them until somebody pulled them aside and said, you know, until the HR person kind of had to come down and do a talk with everybody, but really specifically for a certain group of people. We all knew that. But, hey, you know, this is
right.
what you're supposed to wear to work. This is what you're supposed to look like. This is what you're supposed to do. Now, what was amazing, I do remember a few of them taking the advice, and then the next couple of days when you saw them come to work, oh, they look so professional and just fabulous. It's like,
this is what you're supposed
to look like.
You know, I always use that Xerox example. It was the one company that, you know, took in all these young budding kids with all this potential, and that's exactly what they did. They trained them. Here's what you wear to work. You wear this skirt. You don't wear colored pantyhose. I mean, they were very strict. And a lot of those people are the baby boomers today that are, you know, in head positions in corporations. But somehow we stopped doing that. But it's more needed now than it was then.
Yeah, it definitely is. I paused for a second because I'm looking at your blog under celebrity gossip, and you've got some pictures. Was that at the Met in New York where they have that big costume event every year, Jewel? You've got
yes,
pictures
yes, the
on
Met
the,
Ball. The Met Ball is the fashion gala of the year. It is the most sought after and looked at collection on the red carpet of any award show. The Met Ball is it. So it's really a fun time to see who's stepping out and what and really getting a good look at who was risky, who was
mm-hmm.
you know, standing back going, I'm just going to be, you know, conservative and just the whole thing. So it's definitely a show.
And what's your idea? And this is actually a question I got also as I'm looking at my emails. What's your idea when it comes to fashion of risky? I mean, does a risky have to be crazy looking, or does it? You know what I mean? What does it have to be?
Well, you know what, I think risky can be anything that's out of your norm. So if it's even if you're not a red wearer, a risk can be wearing red for you and being able to pull it off and be confident. So it doesn't have to be. I mean, like when we. You know, it was funny, the team got together and we said, okay, let's pull together our top 10 and then we'll go down to our five and talk about what we thought of each one. And, you know, when we got to Beyonce, my 20-year-old assistant said, she looked amazing. And I said, I thought she looked very naked because she's a mother. And it was almost like her team was trying to say, we're back. And I understand you're back because you're standing there. So I don't need to see your behind for me to know that you're back. And I love Beyonce.
Right.
But I'm like, come on. That reminded me
right.
of, it was like Destiny's Child meets the Met.
Mm-hmm. I didn't particularly like the dress either. I thought it was a little bit, I don't know, I don't know what reasons I didn't, but I just thought she could have had a better choice. So while we're on the topic of celebrity, I think if it's one thing when I tell everybody that you're going to be coming on, everybody always wants to know what you think about the whole reality television, the Basketball Wives and all that. So before you start, I'm just going to put my little two cents in it. You guys remember, Jewel is the woman of the world. She's got her own thoughts. But the news lady, Victoria, I want nothing to do with that stuff. I don't like it. But I'm not only biased when it comes to, if you want to particularly talk about shows that focuses on African-American women, I'm talking about all those shows of women in general, whether it's the Moth Wives, whether it's the show about the women in Florida and their husbands play, baseball. I don't care what it is. I just think none of those shows, I mean, are they entertainment? Yes, but I just think a lot of them cross the line. I mean, I've tried, Jewel, many times to watch the one, the Basketball Wives, but I can't do it. I just think it sets such a bad example for women. The arguing, the trying to hit each other. It's way, way too much for me. So with that said, I'll let you start.
Well, you know, I think reality TV is out of control at this point. It's out of control. It's so much so that it's not even, to me, it's nobody's reality, which is really bizarre that they even would call it that. But, you know, when I think about, I mean, like Basketball Wives, even after season one was like, are you kidding? I can't even stomach the commercials. And for me, it was even more personal because before them was the NFL show, which they wouldn't even call it. They call it Football Wives. The NFL won't even let you, thank God, use their
yeah.
licensing prohibits that, which is good because then it connects everybody. But for us, you know, when we have an annual wives conference. If anybody's listening that doesn't know, my husband played for the Redskins for 20 years, so I am one of five wives that was a 20-year wife. So a lot of times when things come up, you know, I'll get the question or somebody will look and you know, they want to know what I think. And one of the younger wives that was on the show came to me at the Super Bowl and she goes, are you angry with us? And I said, I'm not angry with you. I want you to decide how you want to be represented and how your children want to see, because it's never going to go away. If it's on TV or if it's internet, it is forever. So that's something that you have to say, how am I okay with that? I said, and because a lot of times, you know, like I have this conversation with my mother all the time, and I said, you know, it's a script. So are you going to take that script from VH1 when you know that the average person doesn't understand how TV works and they think that's who you really are and you will never be able to change that? Was it worth it? And to me, it never
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
Reality
yeah, exactly.
TV doesn't work for anyone. It doesn't work. I mean, from the very beginning, you know, the very first reality TV show was Jessica Simpson and her husband, and we see where that ended. And it's been one train wreck after another where people's lives have been literally destroyed.
Destroyed,
I mean, we were talking about, I saw just
an
interview the other day about his participation in the Kardashian show and how it's literally almost cost him his career because it's like he's bigger for being Khloe's husband than he is for being with the Lakers. And when you have to go down to the minor league. I don't even know they had that in basketball. I'm like, okay, it's time to get off TV. It's time to not do that.
Right.
So it's a very costly thing.
I
think it just dummies down our whole society and makes kids, especially in young women, not know what reality is and act worse than they already were.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, two points that came to mind when you talked about Khloe and Lamar. I'm glad that Lamar... and also, I mean, Khloe seems to be sort of out of that whole bunch, more of a normal one than the rest of them. But I'm glad that that Lamar, you know, was basically like, enough is enough. This is overriding what my real job is, and I can't do this anymore. So I'm glad I'm glad that he was smart enough that he valued, you know, his career in the league to say, you know, I've got to get out of this. And you know, the other thing is too, is that what you said about how nothing good comes from that. I mean, these people are like celebrities for a quick second, but then after, you know, the show is over and a couple of months and a year go by, there's a new face on there, there's new drama, and these people are forgotten. So it's kind of like, is it really worth it for that, whatever two seasons that you actually were able to get on and the amount of money that you were able to get? Was it really, really worth it for you? I mean, some of the people do have sort of breakout shows, but even the ones that have breakout shows, after that show is over, there's nothing else for you. I mean, unless, you know, a network or a show or something picks you up, but that, I mean, that's at like 1%. Of happening with these reality people.
And it's really interesting that, you know, again, me growing up, you know, in the 70s and 80s of a time when you really went and studied your art to become whatever it was that you wanted to become, to me it's almost a slap in the face to the real actors and actresses that spend their lives in front of audition people to get spots. It's like, how could you even really consider yourself an actor or an actress when that is not what you did? You got on the show and brought drama to life to make it. So that means you didn't make it. If I was an actress, I would think the goal is the award show. The goal is the Oscar, not the fight. I mean,
right.
You know, and
to keep on
basketball wise, exactly. And with basketball wise, even more so than any of the others, which is so bad about that, is they took it to a level that was so demeaning across the board for just the whole bullying and fighting that when you start having even sponsors pull from shows, then you know it is the worst. I mean, I've never seen that happen before. They made the 6 o'clock news because of the sponsorships were pulling out because we realized this is an issue of bullying, and that's what we are a country is fighting against.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of them compare themselves to of all of the shows. You know, they want to compare themselves to Kardashians and say, okay, well, Kim can do this. That is completely different in the fact that they were already self-made millionaires before that show ever came on. And California, L.A., that is kind of the life of L.A. L.A. is just, it is the most non-reality city in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
If you weren't on the camera and you just saw him walking down the street, it kind of would be the same thing. That reality in L.A. in most instances
right.
is non-reality. So I don't even kind of put that, even though their stuff is crazy as it can be, they kind of get a pass from the other shows that are even more ridiculous because on any given day, the wealthiness of Beverly Hills creates what you see with them. So that's every house.
What you see with them, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess that I never thought about, but you do make a good point with that because reality for them is that's how it is out there pretty much all the time. And that atmosphere and that wealth does create that, in itself.
Oh,
but,
my
you
God,
know,
when you go there for vacation and you sit there and you go, okay, everybody's driving, you know, the $100,000 car, and you're like, is this a car rental place? I mean, this is bizarre. I mean, like, nobody there is in reality. It's the most amazing city ever. Like, one that you go and go, you can stay there for 2 or 3 days, but you wouldn't want to live there and raise your children.
Now, I've never, and it's interesting because I've been to a lot of places. As crazy as this sounds, Julie, I've never been to L.A., and it's on my list in the next couple of years to go. So when I go, I'm sure I'll be running back here to get you on the phone to tell you my thoughts about L.A.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's like nothing. I mean, it's amazing. When my son was even going through, you know, figuring out, because, of course, when you're getting ready to go with a team, who's calling you, you have no idea. And all I could think of was, okay, but I don't want him to be in the state of California because I think that's kind of risky. Because it's like not real. I mean, it isn't. It's not real.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's a very, very strange. It's different. It's just very different.
Well, I mean, the whole thing with the basketball wives and the sponsors pulling out. In fact, I just posted an article on my wall because there is a young lady who's with one of the petition online campaigns, and she's really sort of big within that industry. But she was so upset about it that she literally got over 500,000 people on the internet to sign her petitions to get that show off the air, and they took all that to sponsors. So some of those sponsors that you were talking about was as a result of her. And her thing was, you know, it's not about that I'm just trying to get a show kicked off the air. She goes, this, you know, exactly what you said. We, every single day on the news, we see stories about bullying, you know, kids committing suicide, kids doing this. And, you know, as a nation, we're fighting against bullying. And then you turn this on and you see, you know, some of the worst bullies in the world are right here
exactly.
on the show. Yeah,
exactly.
On the show.
Exactly.
And, yeah. And it just pains me the language that they use with each other. It's just like, really? I mean, do people really still even talk to them? I mean, you know, do you really need to use that much profanity and the shaking of your head? And can you communicate better without having to do that, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Do you have to communicate that way?
Oh, it's the worst. I mean, it's like, to the point of saying, just turn the TV off. If that's all we have to watch, we need to turn it off.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
Listen, because, you know, I'll keep talking forever, but I do want to know if there's anything that you've got going on and that you wanted to specifically talk about. I didn't realize it's almost 8:40.
Yeah, we do have a way of doing.
You know how we are.
Speaking.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I guess the biggest thing that I'm working on right now is, you know, you're familiar with the Tiger Lily organization. I am on the committee to do our gala for October, and we're gearing up for a 5K race. It's actually going to be in September. So stay tuned, and we'll get back in as we get closer to that to talk about that 5K that we'll have in Reston Town Center coming up and the big gala for breast cancer in October. So I'm excited about working on the committee.
I actually saw the information because I help out with Tiger Lily also, and I saw the information. I'm actually going to participate in that. So as we do get near that, I'll definitely be talking about that more on the show. And you or anybody from the organization, you guys know, just email me and say, hey, we need to come on and sell some tickets and talk about it, and it's a done deal. And, yeah, they just do so much wonderful work with that organization. I mean, really sort of on the ground work where they're actually, you know, really helping people lives. And I really think that organization is sort of, you know, if you fast forward 5 or even 10 years from now, it's going to be one of the big ones out there, as opposed to just the Susan G. Komen Foundation, in my opinion.
Absolutely, I think so. Because one of the biggest, you know, I get letters from everybody saying, okay, we need help on committees, but I chose them because not just is it a local organization, but it's also one that helps women go through treatment right now, and young women. I mean, research is great, but if you get that diagnosis, you need help today. And and I'm sure I'll open up a can of worms with this one, but I believe that because we've had scientists in research labs for the last 20 years, if we wanted to cure breast cancer, we probably could. But that is a huge industry for pharmaceuticals. So we just want to know that's something that we can maintain it.
That you and I very much agree on most subjects, and that right there is still one that I concur with you on, you know. And I remember thinking, too, a lot of the times with Avon and the different organizations on television, and you see within your local community, you know, the Avon Cure, Susan G. Komen Foundation, and I remember, you know, every time I see it thinking, they've been doing this for 100 years. I mean,
and millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah. Anything. And then I get angry. And then I get angry, and I'm like, no, I'm not doing that race. I'm not going on the mall in D.C., and I'm not going to do that one either.
No.
I actually did
that 1 year. I did it 1 year. 64 miles, $3,800 I raised, and I thought, are you kidding? I mean, that year it was probably $6.5 million we raised in 3 days collectively. Mm. And I just don't understand. I mean, I feel like the industry wants it to be treated like a virus that if we catch it in time, we can, you know, maintain or get rid of it. But I need you to cure it because it is a scary thing for every woman, and it's just not – I don't think it's necessary. But I do believe that there is a way to combat that. But I know that the pharmaceutical industry, we're talking about millions of dollars, and it's a competition of the will. Who's going to – you know, who's going to wipe that out and say, okay, we don't need medicine anymore, then that takes away millions of dollars.
And, you know, it's the same thing. I was talking to somebody, we were talking about health and fitness and all that stuff. Actually, it was a report, I think it was Dateline, which do really good stories. And Dateline were saying, basically, you know, no one really wants to cure the obesity disease in America because it's a big industry. Every single month there's a new infomercial on television about some new gadget that's going to make you skinny. Americans and people around the world rush to go buy it, and then you may lose 10 or 15 pounds and you're sitting there with the same result. But the doctors were like, look, it's basically a simple formula to losing weight. Eat better food and get up and move and walk more, period.
Exactly.
And, you know,
and that's
kind of it. Yeah.
There is no wonder drug. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons we developed Walk Fit Health. That was exactly it. We said, listen, how many club memberships do you have to get? How many trainers are you going to hire? How many pills are you going to take that are going to endanger your life 5 years from now? Get the mini pet and walk and get the weight off, get the diseases out of your DNA and work it out. That's it.
I'm
married to an athlete. There is no special form.
Yeah, I mean, you and your household get all the up-to-date scientific information on, I know, on every single thing possible because of your husband, Dale Green. So I know that, trust me, ladies, if there's anything out there, then Jill would know it. And trust me, if she did know it, I assure you she would tell you. So
absolutely,
I know that
that's I would.
Yeah, I know. You get all the good information and every single thing out there that is possible. But, you know, I'm a living example of the whole walking thing, because you remember when I lost a lot of weight, I didn't do anything fancy. I literally walked. I started walking with my dog 4 times a week for 30 minutes and changed my diet, and that was pretty much it. And then within, I would say about 3 or 4 months, the weight started to slowly come off. But, yeah, I mean, so it's not really, and Michael Kay, my entertainment co-host, says the same thing. He's like, it's not rocket science. It's just, you know, try to cut out the fats and all the sugars and eat a healthy diet and just start walking. That's pretty much it, though.
But exactly. And like, you know, Gerald always says, if you move enough, you will get rid of it. It's almost like filling your car up. The gas stays in unless you move it. It doesn't.
It's not rocket science. Interesting. Never even thought about that way. That's why we love having you on. You give us good stuff to think about and different ways for us to think about things. Well, I'll bug you and try to get you back on here before the big event comes up, the walk in September. And maybe you can, But anyway, we love you and keep up all the wonderful things that you're doing. And thank you so much. I appreciate you being on. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And everybody, that was the one and only Jewel Green, who we just simply love. You know, we love Jewel for many, many reasons, but basically I just love her because she's just so down to earth and she tells it like it is. Another person who tells it like it is entertainment co-host Michael Kay. Hey, Michael.
Hello, darling. I love me some Jewel Green. I'm telling you,
know,
that woman
she
is delicious and so charming, and I'm a fan of her husband, even though
and
I don't follow
and
football.
And you know what? Classy. And just
classy to the core.
She is absolutely classy, just a classy lady. So we've got another big show coming up tomorrow. I'll let you talk about that while I take a sip of water, because I've been talking a lot.
We do. Tomorrow night we have on, we're doing a show to discuss Barack Obama's affirmation of gay marriage, and Vic and I will be chatting with, I believe, Grover Morrell, as well as my resident pastor, David Uphold, will be here to go ahead and share his insights as to, you know what, Vic, I would love to ask David this, and I'm going to ask him tomorrow. I would love to understand how some religions, such David's of the Lutheran faith, and with my knowledge of the Episcopalian faith, but I would love to know how some religions discount the quality or the validity of homosexuality, we'll put that out there, based on their own different Bibles. I don't know if there's a different Bible for each religion. I believe there's the Old Testament, the New Testament. It seems very simple to me. But I'm looking forward to chatting and getting a different point of view. Plus, what did you think about the verdict handed down the other day?
Oh, my goodness. You know, really followed them. And again, you just mentioned about talking to your clergy member tomorrow. I suspect some of that is what I call picking and choosing, cherry picking. So they basically kind of, you know, take whatever it is that they want and kind of pick and choose, you know, to use whatever. But anyway, we'll talk about that tomorrow. But the verdict of the Rutgers spying case kind of actually shocked me. I thought I didn't think he was going to get a year, even 2 years. I mean, I thought he would probably get something like maybe 10 months or at least a year. I did not think that he was going to get 30 days. I really, really didn't think he was going to get 30 days. I mean, even if you want to take the argument out that it was hate, okay, fine, we'll just put that on the shelf for a second. But the mere fact of all the violations that he was convicted of, you know, lying, tampering with evidence. I mean, just that stuff alone, and I think the judge maybe rattled off about 10 different things. You know, when he started saying 30 days, I thought he was going to give him, like, 30 days on each one of those counts that he was convicted on. But I just remember sitting in my living room with my mouth wide open, just in awe, like, wow, I cannot believe he only got 30 days. And apparently, not even me as a journalist. I mean, apparently, if you talk to most of the people within the legal community, they were all shocked too. So
yeah, no, it was 30 days and a $10,000 fine, and then I believe he got 3 years probation and 300 hours of community service, which is all basically what I find to be, I wasn't in the courtroom, I wasn't one of the jurors, but I find that to be basically a slap on the wrist. But keep in mind, too, this is precedent setting. I think this is the first time the court has really dealt directly with someone who has committed suicide versus a cyber, I don't want to use the term bullying, but a cyber harassment kind of a thing. My point is that Ravi, the now 22-year-old person, didn't have the wherewithal to realize that what he was doing was wrong. So would you find that to be a reflection on the parents as to, like, I find it difficult that an 18-year-old at that point wouldn't have known that it's not funny to go ahead and tape someone having their first or second or third homosexual
right.
experience. And quite frankly, you're in college. That's where you're supposed to test all your boundaries, you know, and not do it under the scrutiny of
right.
And the fear of something.
I think the problem with that situation, the question you're asking me is a bad case to test. And the reason I say that is because when both of their parents got on, not the stand, but when they spoke about their witness impact statement, family impact statement, I think is what it's called.
Right.
They both said the same thing, that when they first brought their kids to the dorm, each one of the boys just were not friendly. That, you know, their personalities didn't jive. So I just think that Rami, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, I just think, you know, he just didn't like this guy. I think the other guy, sounds like to me, didn't really care for him too much, and I just think he mm-hmm. saw this situation, and he just thought it was funny. And
yeah.
he just thought, oh, ha, 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 I'm going to go ahead and videotape him and do this. Now, I don't, you know, it's hard for me to look at it and say that he actually hated him. I think hate would be a strong word, but it was clear that both of them didn't like each other too much. So I don't know if I would use the word that they hated each other, because, you know, they were for quite some time in the same dorm room. I guess they kind of tolerated each other. But I just think, you know, he was one of these kids who just thought, you know what, this is going to be really, really funny. I'm going to do this. And it was clear he didn't think about the consequences, that if I do this and I get caught, then I could get in trouble. So that's either one of two things. Either he just didn't care and he did it himself, or he just didn't really think about it. I just think he was just this 18-year-old kid who didn't really necessarily think about it. But at the same time, I don't think that that's an excuse enough that it absolves you from the situation of what you did either.
Oh, certainly,
you know what
not,
I mean?
But absolutely, but I'll certainly go ahead and go back to the mother's testimony on the parental statement that was given and stuff. She basically, in a nutshell, I'm paraphrasing here, but she basically said we didn't know that he was this sensitive, which would point out the fact that everybody is this sensitive. So you just don't go ahead. So I kind of see the upbringing being part of the problem is what – that's just the way
mm-hmm.
I took it. It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and Steve is mad because Millionaire wasn't on. So it was one of those things where it's like, oh, come on, Ray, hand down the verdict.
Actually, at one point I was sitting there watching it, and the judge was going on and on. I'm just thinking, well, you just freaking tell us what the verdict is. I don't have time to go through all this. Just tell us what it is. So when he started 30 days, I thought, oh – and then he started on this issue and that issue, and I thought, oh, okay, so he's giving him 30 days for each one of these counts, and that's going
right.
to add up to, you know, at least, I don't know, almost a year or something. I thought, wow. But like I said, apparently, and I'm no constitutional law scholar, I'm no lawyer, I'm none of that, but apparently it was like a huge shock within the legal community itself. So it'll be interesting to see what everybody else thinks about it tomorrow on News Crunch.
News
we'll take
Crunch.
Some
yeah.
calls on it and kind of get everybody's opinion inside the chat room also. But, Michael, you notice when I talked to Jewel that I use your line about it doesn't take a rocket scientist to lose weight. You just eat better and move more, right? Because that's kind of
well,
your
really.
Thing. But it's true, right? It's true.
Yeah, just move your ass. Just eat. You know, the more you move, the more you can eat. That's as simple as it can get, you know. A good friend of mine was competing in Mr. Universe last weekend, and he placed fifth. And the man is ripped to shreds, mm-hmm. ate nothing but tuna and dry potatoes and stuff.
But again,
he ate 13 times a day. So I love when Jewel said it's like putting gas in your car, because it's like putting gas in your body. The fuel has mm-hmm. to be burned. And I want to applaud you for keeping up with Zumba. And you're going for Zumba certification, which I'm telling you, thank God,
because I was telling you how
much of a queer I felt in the gym when I was doing Zumba with this class load of women. And seriously, I got into it because it's fun when you get moving.
I don't know why you felt that way. At my gym, there are actually guys that take Zumba.
Well, you got to see my gym,
Zumba.
Though.
Now, what's funny about the guys at my gym, half of the time, Michael, I can't tell you what in the hell they're over there doing. They're not doing the Zumba steps that I'm doing. We don't even care what they do. As long as they're there, they're jumping around, they're losing weight. Nobody really cares. But what is funny is that when they are doing the Zumba and there's a certain step that they get and they really like it, I mean, they really milk it for every single thing possible that they can. So it's fun to actually watch them. But I had been thinking about it because I do enjoy it so much, and I'm really into health and fitness myself, and just trying to, you know, the whole thing, lead a better life. Not for vanity reasons. I mean, it's nice when your clothes look nice and all that, but just, you know, you had talked about that before, just so that I can have some more energy, just so I can, feel good when I can wake up in the morning and not have to have something artificial to give me energy, that it actually comes naturally. But right. Mar Bennett produced the show tonight, did a great job. I thought we were going to have you on earlier because I couldn't remember if Jewel was going to remember, and she did. So I was happy that Jewel Green called in tonight. And Michael, what song should we play to end the show tonight? What song do you want to hear?
Geez, God, you know what? You surprised me, Vic. There's
okay.
been so much going on, and so I can't wait. Everybody, go ahead and join us tomorrow on News Crunch at 8 p.m. Eastern. I want to thank Marv B., Mike Kolob, my brother from the mother, and Sandy Nebraska from joining us in chat. But, Vic, I'm so happy to get back on track. We're going to have some great shows planned. Absolutely.
Yes, we do. All right, love. I will say goodnight to you, Michael, and goodnight to everyone else, and here's my surprise who we're going to listen to.
I'm really close to the edge. I know if I take one more step, I will cross the line. In this place, I am safe. The other side will test my fate. The stars are aligned. Hold on, hold on. Just when you think your heart could break apart, hold on, hold on. You feel like your hope is gone, the addiction is so strong. But you gotta hold on. Confusion taking hold, so many things that I don't know. I'm grabbing at straws, lost in a permanent night, but I will put up a good fight, even if I lose the war. Hold on. Okay, just take a chance, move along now, break away. for goodbyes. You know that times are changing. You can find your way. It's been so long. What could make it stay? It's time to break away.
Been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.